Today, and I think the next three lectures, I will deal with some theoretical background, as I told you last time. This material is contained in the first chapter of the didactic material you can find on the web page, this is the title of this chapter, Basic Elements of Linear Algebra. In the numerical part of this course, we will use extensively tools, methods, procedures of linear algebra, so it's very important that we begin from a common starting point. That is, I think that you all know, are well acquainted with basic notions and concepts such as vectors, matrices, the principal operation between matrices, vectors, linear system solving, determinants, and so on. I will recall all these notions, and for most of them, I will add something new in many cases. In many cases, it will be an extension of known notions. Let us begin. The objects we will deal with will be matrices and vectors. We start with vectors and matrices in vectors in CN. And matrices in C m to n by n. Instead of real elements, this is quite simple, it's no problem to consider these objects in these fields. Simply replace real numbers with complex numbers. We will not be obliged to make complicated computation over complex numbers. Anyway, remember the basic notions on complex numbers that are sum of complex numbers, product of complex number, representation before all of complex number, conjugate. We will use soon conjugate complex numbers. The power of complex number. We will remind all these as soon as it will be necessary. So, a matrix A, M by N, I have said, elements A sub IJ and C. You know what is the transpose of a matrix over the real field? we replace this notion with a conjugate transpose instead of only transpose. That is, AT, that is the matrix B, whose elements B sub ij are defined as IJE, it is the usual transpose of matrix, over complex numbers is replaced by AH, which can be called also as conjugate transpose. Trasposta coniugata, Italian. This definition is the following. In this case, BIJ, BIJ, is defined as AJE conjugate. Conjugate, what does it mean? If a complex number alpha is represented as its real part, call it x, and its imaginary part, call it y, sorry. The conjugate of alpha, or alpha bar, as you prefer, is defined as x minus e y. That is, we change the sign of the imaginary part. Over the real numbers, the two operators, H and T, coincide. They are the same thing. Because, why? Because over the real number, Y is zero. So, if alpha is real, alpha bar is equal to alpha. So over, if A belongs R by R, M by M, then AT is obviously equal to AH. The operations over vectors and matrices in C to M by N are defined in the same way, no problem. Why? Because the over the complex are defined in some addition. So the product AB, where A and B are two matrices, is defined as the usual, you know well it, row by column. Product. The product of a matrix by a vector, we call it X, is a particular case of the row by column product. We go on following a list, somewhat boring list, of names, properties, structural specification, which are simple in most cases. You know it. You know them. We begin with structural. Structural features of matrices. I do not write all the definitions because most of them are obvious. Diagonal matrices, triangular matrices. I list them anyway. Diagonal matrix, you know, it's a matrix who may have entries different from zero only along the principal diagonal. The principal diagonal is defined even if the matrix is not square. We are speaking of matrix with n rows and n columns. The principal diagonal, or main diagonal, is the ordered set of entries of A which have row index and column index equal. That is AII. A diagonal matrix is a matrix which is obliged to have all zeros out of the main diagonal. A particular case is that of scalar matrices. In this case, in this subcase, the scalar matrix is a diagonal matrix with all diagonal entries equal to the same constant number, which is alpha, 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 repeated along this main diagonal. So it's a particular case. Upper, or equivalently with an analogous definition, lower, triangular matrix is a matrix I write over the same scheme. We think always in general rectangular matrix with n different from n. An upper triangular matrix is a matrix with this structure. It has zero elements under in the position under the main diagonal. This is upper. If it were lower, it would have zero elements above the the main diagonal. We can consider also, we can find it here, strictly upper or lower triangular. In this case, the principal elements, the elements of the form A sub II, are zero. That is, the zeros are also along the main diagonal. All this is very simple. It's only the description. Another type, important type, because it occurs in many applications, also in informatics, in computer science. Three diagonal matrix usually the square case is the most frequent because however we can continue to consider the general case that the matrix is rectangular. Three diagonal matrix is a matrix who can have non-zero elements only along three diagonals, the main diagonals, the adjacent upper diagonal, the adjacent and the adjacent lower diagonal.
zero everywhere. There can be zeros also in this position, but the structure is obliged to have zeros elsewhere.
All these structural features some property of the product, row by column product, in which way the product of two matrices interacts with the transposition, or better, conjugate transposition. That is, if I consider the product A by B, and I consider the conjugate transpose. It is known, it's simple to prove, that the following equality holds. A, B, H is equal to B, second factor, H, by A, the first factor, H. This is the conjugate transposition in the product, exchanging this formula, the position of the two matrices. It's important, I have not yet reminded it, but it must be very clear, the product between matrices is not commutative. So in general, A by B is not equal to B by A. This means that the order, according to which I write the formulas, is most cases relevant. I cannot modify the order of the factor in a more or less complicated formula because commutativity does not hold. Well, let us introduce. You all know which is how it is made, the identity matrix, which is denoted by I. Identity matrix, P square, in this case. It's a diagonal matrix, better scalar matrix, with all ones along the main diagonal. And it is important because it's the neutral element of the product between matrices. A by I is equal to I by A. And it is equal to, this is the most important thing, to A. So, these options must this clearly also, zero matrix, the null matrix, it is noted with the big O, is the zero matrix, and is a general M by N matrix formed by all zero elements. Let us introduce now other classes of matrices. According to properties that are less structural in most cases, and in some cases, properties that are hidden, not so easily revelable.
important classes of matrices. We begin with normal. Matrices, what they are. A matrix A is normal if, this is the definition, the product H by A is equal to the product of the same factors in reverse order. This is not true in general, since the commutativity, as I told you, does not hold. But if this equation holds, we say that the matrix A is normal. It is not evident if a given matrix is or not normal by a simple inspection. According to the definition we have given, one is obliged to perform this product and to compare with this other product. We will see that these matrices can be characterized in other ways, and they are a wide class of matrices which in some sense behave well, are matrices that are compliant to stability, in the sense that algorithms which use matrices of this type are expected to behave better than algorithms which works with non-normal matrices. Another important class that is a subclass of this, Hermitian matrices, matrici hermitiane. The definition is A and AH are equal. This class generalizes the class of symmetric matrices. Over there, over R, to the I, since AH is equal to AT, this means AT equal to A, which is a definition of symmetrics, symmetric matrix. Not yet. I will show you orthogonal matrices in a few minutes. Okay. An example, these matrices are easily recognizable. This is clear for asymmetric real matrix. For instance, this matrix, the 2x2 matrix, is evidently symmetric. If I pick complex numbers, an example of Hermitian matrix that is not symmetric, made up with a complex number. This example, 2, 1 plus I, here is not an index,
we are
over the complex, so I
denotes the imaginary unit.
We have the prescription that in this position there must be the complex conjugate of this element A sub 2 1 must be equal to A sub 1 2 bar. In fact, this is the conjugate of this element. Can I put on the diagonal a non-real number? No, this is an absolute observation, but it's important because the condition AH equal to A is applied over the diagonal. E is equal to J, that is main diagonal. What does it mean? A sub I bar conjugate equal to A sub I. Which is the same thing that A I is real. If a number, if a complex number is equal to its conjugate, that it means that it is real. So in a Hermitian matrix, the diagonal elements must be real. Out of the main diagonal, we can have real or not real entries. The last properties, so I relate your answer, is the class of unitary matrix used in the left board. Unitary matrix, unitary matrices. Unitary matrices are an extension of orthogonal matrices. The general definition is matrix A such that not only it is normal, but also this product has value I, the identity. This means we have not yet spoken about inverse matrix, but this, if you remind what is necessary to remind, means that the inverse is equal to AH. If we are over the real number, if we are over R, these matrices are called also orthogonal. And this relation is replaced by this. The inverse A minus 1 is equal to AT, simply the transpose. A comment regarding all these classes of matrices. Hermitian
particular symmetric,
and unitary, and orthogonal, are particular cases of normal matrices. If you apply the definition of normal matrix to the Hermitian or to a unitary, the condition stated by the definition is satisfied. So we can say, we can also visualize the connection between among these classes in this way. If this is the representation of a set of normal matrices, it contains the Hermitian and contains also the unitary. Unitary and Hermitian have a non-empty intersection. The final comment is that this kind of matrices are good matrices in some sense. In many situations are good matrices. The best matrices which behaves in the best way among all these are the unitary matrices. And an example, if a simple thing to do show some example of the objects we are speaking about. An example of unitary matrix. The trivial example is the identity matrix. It is unitary. E by EH, which is always E, I, is equal to I. A non-trivial example non-trivial examples are given by the rotation matrices. A rotation matrix, a plane rotation matrix, is the matrix which represents a rotation over the plane. It's a real matrix, real, and is defined as, we call it U, plus alpha, sin alpha, minus sin alpha, cos alpha. For any alpha. For any alpha, alpha is the angle of rotation. For any alpha, we can write easily UH, which is simply the transpose, if you perform the product UH by U, you will find I. That's all. Another kind, simple kind of unitary matrix we will use, I hope today at the end of the second hour. Another kind is the permutation matrices. What they are?
Definition can be given in several ways.
A friendly definition is this.
Matrix
we call example we could be by permutation
P is obtained from
I, the identity matrix,
by permuting its rows.
We consider I have forgotten to say that these three classes of matrices are square. Previous structures had sense even if the matrix was rectangular. Instead, these are all square matrices. Example, the identity 3 by 3 we permute the rows of this matrix with one of the six permutation of three integers. We can exchange simply the first and the third row. Matrix P, which is a permutation matrix. Remind this: permutation matrices are simply useful to represent situation in which the rows or the columns of a matrix or a number of matrix are permuted.
To be more clear, if you multiply a permutation matrix,
the final comment is that every permutation matrix is unitary. This is the last simple important example of unitary matrix. All the matrix P, the matrices P.
R, P is unit.
The proof is simple. You multiply
P by its transpose is real, and you obtain again the identity. If you multiply the permutation matrix by something,
another matrix or also vector,
the result B is a matrix whose rows are the same rows of A are the same of A permuted according to the permutation by which P has been obtained from I. The same occurs if E multiply a matrix I A at right, at the other side, by P. What changes? Instead of rows, we have a permutation of columns.
This matrix B has, I write down this in a compact way, has columns the same as A permuted.
We go on. If there is some doubt, please ask me. There follows a section devoted to vectors. For vectors, there is what can be new to you. The scalar product.
Well, we speak about a more general definition of scalar product over the vectors of Cn.
We start, we begin from Rn. For the vectors of Rn, if you know well, the scalar product, as you know, was defined as we have two vectors in Rn, x and y. The scalar product can be denoted in many various ways. We will choose a particular one, actually. For now, I write in Word, the words, scalar product. Scalar is a number, a real number in this case, and it is defined, as you know, as the sum over I from 1 to n of the products of the elements with the same indices. If we are over Cn, and we want to be over Cn, the definition changes in this way. Scalar product is defined as the sum over these products' difference. The first vector, x, here is present with its elements conjugated. This is a not secondary difference, because with this definition the scalar product is not commutative. If we invert x and y, we obtain another number. This was a real number, this was a complex number. According to the definition of row by column products between matrices, vectors, and so on, we decide to denote the scalar product over Cn as a product row by column of, I write it according to this scheme, the product between xh and y. Xh is the conjugate transpose of x. X and y must be considered as column vector. For us, the vectors are matrices with only one column. Our vectors will be always column vectors. To denote a row vectors, we will use over the real the operator T transpose. over the convex operator H, conjugate transpose. If we perform this product, we obtain exactly the scalar product over complex vectors as we want to define it.
This product has the same properties, not exactly, with a slight difference, slight differences due to this change. I write down them since they are a few properties. Anyway, they can deduce it immediately from the properties of this product. If you see the scalar product as x h by y, we have immediately that x h by x is before all real. Moreover, it can be negative. If you invert the factors, the result changes, and we obtain the conjugate of the previous result. So we can write that the conjugate of this product is equal to the product, the ordinary product, in Reder's order.
Here we can find listed other two properties which are obvious, so I don't write on the board.
The scalar product of a vector by itself has a particular relevance because it can be chosen as a measure of length for the vector.
We can write explicitly this as this clear why we had the sum over E of X bar by X for each I. If you, this is another simple property of complex number, if you have alpha in C and multiply alpha bar by alpha, you obtain the square of the absolute value. If you, as it is normal, are not confident with the magnitude of complex number, don't worry, there are few properties that are necessary to understand this computation. But this is one. This problem is the explicit formula for the absolute value of a complex number is the square root of the square of the real part plus the square of the imaginary part. Coming back to this point, next lectures we will find that this number corresponds to the so-called Euclidean length of X, lunghezza euclidea di X. That's the most common measure of length over the vectors, not only over R, but also over C. Let's take a short break of 10 minutes. Okay. Fermiamoci 10 minuti così.